I've written on the board, remember the fire. I'd like to turn to the book of Exodus tonight and start. This is around the time that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And we find that Moses actually went up and down the mountain several times, more than once, during the process of getting the law from God several times. And I'd like to consider quickly a few of those instances to paint a little bit of a background. And the first one is in the 19th chapter of Exodus and the 9th verse. Exodus 19 and 9. And it said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people," not just Moses, "but the people may hear when I speak to thee, and believe thee forever." Do you remember that part of it? Do you remember that it wasn't just God and Moses, and that it was all just from what Moses said that he saw God, but this says, and we'll find, that the Lord was speaking to the people too with His power and His glory. And so He told Moses, "I'm going to come unto you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And maybe I should have read that, because I'd like to refer back to it. In the 8th verse, what the people had said was that they would do all that the Lord commanded of them. That's what the people told Moses, "We'll do whatever the Lord commands." And so then Moses went into the presence of the Lord, and that's what we read in the 9th verse. And he said, and Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Okay, and then in the 16th verse, we're going to skip through here. It said, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." So put yourself there if you can this evening. You're in the camp, and there's this mountain, and it said that there were thunders and lightnings. I imagine it was thunder and lightning like maybe we've never seen. And a thick cloud was on the mountain. And then the voice of the trumpet. And I don't know what all that means. But it was loud, and it captured the people's attention. And it said that they all trembled. All right, now if we could skip to the 20th chapter and read in the 18th verse. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking." Do you remember that happened too? "And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses," see, they were getting scared, speak with us, you speak with us, and we'll hear, but don't let God speak with us lest we die." I mean, they realized and saw a power that was being manifested that was well above anything that they could defend themselves against if it were to come against them. And so they told Moses, "Just how about you speak to the Lord, and then you talk to us, and we'll hear you, otherwise we might die." "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces." He wanted the people to understand that He was God and that He was powerful, and that this was something very real and tangible that was happening. And he said, that ye sin not. Let this be a reminder. The Lord is going to manifest Himself. And He's going to be real unto you so that you don't sin later down the road. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. All right? And he gave him some of the law. I'd like to turn one more time to the 24th chapter of Exodus. See, there's quite a bit of things that were happening in here throughout this process. Now in the 24th chapter and the 15th verse. And here Moses is going up again into the mountain. And Moses went up into the mount. And once again, a cloud covered the mount. Okay, now listen to this. The glory of the Lord and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the glory of the Lord was there on the mountain. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain. Listen, in the eyes of the children of Israel. Did you all remember this? It's a good reminder. Sometimes we can remember the part that Moses was the only one that saw the hinder parts of Moses, and that Moses was the one that was up in the mountains and kind of was in the presence of God. But in addition to that happening, God was revealing Himself and His power and His glory to the children of Israel. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights now at this point. So he went up and down a couple times, but now he went up into the mountain and now he was there for 40 days. Do you think God had captured the attention of the children of Israel? I think He did. Would it have captured your attention? Sounds like He captured their attention. Would have captured my attention. And yet, something astounding happened. Something happened that, when we read the story, just seems beyond our comprehension as to how this possibly could happen after this happened. Now turn to Exodus 31. 31 and 18, Moses has been up in the mountain. And he gave unto Moses, God did, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up! Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, well, we don't know what's become of him. We went up into the mountain and, well, it's been 40 days and we don't know what's become of him. And so because of that, Aaron, make us gods that we can serve. Incredible. After 40 short days, so soon after seeing with their own eyes the power and the glory of God, and saying that they would do all that the Lord had commanded. And that was before they saw all the rest of this that happened. But now, since they didn't know what had become of Moses, they were ready to make and serve their own gods. It wasn't good enough for them that God knew where Moses was, but they didn't know where Moses was. They didn't know what all was happening and where he had disappeared to. And because of that, because they didn't know, after 40 days, they decided they were going to make gods with their own hands. After seeing the glory of God on the mountain. I want to learn from this. Don't you? So the question this evening is this, to start with. Have you seen enough? Do you know enough? This is a personal question to you. Have you seen enough? Do you know enough to believe there's a God? Do we? I think we do, don't we? All of us here tonight, we are convinced that there's a God. We believe there's a God. We have all of these things that we can read and things in our own lives. Yet, what are we tempted to do sometimes? So soon after being in the presence of God's Spirit, what are we tempted to do as people sometimes? So soon after having God's Spirit meet with our spirit, maybe hearing the Word of the Lord in power, or maybe witnessing something in our own lives that defies the forces of physics, the laws of physics, the forces of nature. And we see things in our own lives, and we say, that doesn't make sense unless there is a higher power. And then God does special things for us and today. But then, do we remember tomorrow? Where are we tomorrow? Where are we next week? Where are we after 40 short days? Do we begin to doubt? Do we begin to second guess? Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I remember the glory of God. I remember the thunder and the lightnings and the sound of the trumpet. But you know, I haven't seen anything for 40 days, and so, I don't know what's becoming. Maybe I should turn my focus on something else. Maybe I should turn my focus into doubt and fear, into that realm. Maybe that's where I should turn my attention. What are we tempted to do? Have we ever been there before? I have. Do we not trust because we don't understand? They lost trust and faith because they didn't understand what had become of Moses. God knew what had become of Moses. God made himself known in his power and his glory. He knew what had become of Moses. Perhaps if we ask them, do you think God knows where Moses is? Yes, we believe God knows where Moses is. But because they didn't understand, they were willing to begin to doubt and to refocus their mind and their heart and their attention on other things. It seemed like that the fire over the mountain, along with the power that they saw, should have been a strong enough sign, but they failed. They failed to properly consider it. They failed to trust in the signs and the wonders that God gave them to help keep them in a straight path following after Him. And there's many examples of this in Scripture for our edification. And we won't spend a lot of time on them all, but I remember Solomon. I remember reading through the book about Solomon, and there's a scripture in one of the early books that said the Lord wasn't pleased because it said he had revealed himself to Solomon twice. And yet Solomon turned away after God had revealed himself. How many times does God have to reveal himself to us for us to believe past 40 days, for us to trust and give our lives to God for the rest of our lives? How many times does God have to reveal himself to us personally so that it's enough for us to say, Lord, I cast my lot with you. I'm going to follow you all the way now, regardless of what happens. How many times does he have to reveal himself to us? How many times do we have to walk on water? Peter walked on water, and then he promptly sank. And I'm not saying I wouldn't have either. It's a challenge. Thomas doubted Jesus, even though he saw him work miracles, and yet he allowed things to cause him to doubt. And this story repeats itself throughout the Scriptures and into the modern day. So, I would like to read out of 1 Peter 5 and 6 as an exhortation to us, given these things. First Peter 5. I'm in 2 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Listen. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And so this starts off, and Peter exhorted us and said, humble yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Recognize who you are versus who God is. We're the created. He's the creator. Humble yourself. We're not in a position to make gods with our own hands. We shouldn't be in a position to follow after those things that are created with man's hands above the word of the Lord. Humble yourselves. We were made out of the dust of the earth, and unto the earth will we return. Humble yourselves. To what? To God. The mighty hand of God that is in heaven, that created us. So that when the time is right, when he sees that the season is right, when he recognizes and sees that his purpose has been accomplished, that to those that trust him, they'll be exalted in due time. Therefore, because of that, and along with that, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Folks, God wants us to recognize that He is God and that He is worthy to be trusted and that we can trust Him and that we can cast those things that we don't understand on Him because it says that He cares for us. And now in verse 8, we are warned after getting this direction and encouragement in Peter. It said, be sober. Be reflective. Be watchful. Don't be carried away with all of the distractions that are out there. Consider the glory of God. Consider His power. Consider the Word of God that is unchanging and that has always come to pass. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because you are not just battling against yourself. We are not just in a battle against inanimate objects. We are not just trying to overcome forces of nature and human life that know nothing about life. The wind doesn't know anything about life. It just is. And this is saying we're battling against something that's more than that. We are battling against a spirit world. We are in a battle against the enemy of our soul that the Scripture tells us is real. And so this said, to be sober, be careful, because it's not all about just you and things in life that'll pass away. It's about you and a battle that you're in with a spirit and a force that is out to destroy, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is not out just to make us bad. The enemy is out to cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus. He's out to try to get us to forget about the glory and the power of the Lord that has been manifested and revealed to us in so many ways in this dispensation and in our lives. And the enemy would like to get us so involved with so many other things and so many other thoughts and so many other things that are confusing to us and so many things that are outside of our understanding and so many things that appeal to our eyes and our mouth and our ears and our flesh that we become so consumed with those things that we begin to doubt and fail to trust the one who has all power in heaven and earth and who cares about us and has a plan to help us and to strengthen us and to bring us through the tough places of life when we don't understand. And God is there to work a work that He knows we're not going to understand, but he gives us enough that says, I want you to remember this. I want you to consider this so that you're able to walk faithfully after me and that I might perform a work in you so that you can finish well and that you can meet me in peace in the end. And if we don't do that and we don't resist and be steadfast in the faith, then it's a recipe for failure. If we live our lives endeavoring to seek fulfillment in all of those things that will pass away versus giving God first place in our lives, we'll find ourselves doubting, losing faith, questioning, and seeking to follow after things that are made by man's hands. And in the process, be repeatedly disappointed and find ourselves at dead ends. And in the end, if that's what we pursue, we'll find ourselves lost. We are therefore exhorted to deliberately resist this influence. And now in verse 10, as we close, we are encouraged to capture a vision to help keep us steady, to help strengthen our faith, giving us hope to press on and be faithful. And it says, but. Why does it say but? Why does it say however? It's because he just got finished saying, you need to be careful. You need to be sober. You need to be vigilant because you're in a battle against something that can think. You're in a battle against something that is trying to get you off course, and you need to resist this in a steadfast way. Thank God there's a but. Thank God there's a however. Thank God there's a in addition though. But the God of all grace, thank God, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, after that you have lived life and have gone through seasons of life and places that were dark, after you have gone through places in life that you didn't understand, after you have witnessed what you felt was a window of opportunity that passed you by and took hope with it, when you lived life and you went through those valleys and those places where you looked in front and behind and to the sides and didn't see God, when you looked for revelations in your own life today and the feelings weren't there, when you looked at seeds that were planted and you felt like that it was all in vain and only bad things were happening and you feel like saying, where is God? When you look at those that lie close to your heart and you wonder, how can this be, this trouble? And you pray and you open up your heart before God and you shed tears. And it seems like nothing happens. And you look and one day passes and you see nothing. And a week passes and there's still no additional understanding. And 40 days pass and your understanding is still darkened. Perhaps years pass. Perhaps your life passes. And there are places that you look at that are painful and that cause you fear, that you don't understand. This says, however, but the God of unmerited favor, the God of grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory, into a house that's not made with hands, by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, a time that's not up to me to decide when it's over. It's up to God in heaven. And He's doing this so that we can be perfected. I'm reading the scripture. Make you perfect so that you can be made perfect through these seasons of life that are difficult and that you don't understand. So that if you'll keep faith and you'll keep following regardless, that you will be established and that you'll be strengthened and that you will be settled. And so that back to the sixth verse, that in due time we will be exalted. So the message this evening is to be challenged to remember the fire. Remember the fire, the power, the glory that God has been so merciful to give to us in life. The visitations of His Spirit when they come. The special times of your life, the Ebenezer stones that you can look back to and say, God met me there. Don't let the enemy take that away from you. Don't let the enemy say, well, where is He now? Look somewhere else. No, He's the same God. Remember the fire. Consider the loaves and the fishes and how He multiplied them so that when the wind and the waves come and you're fearful, you say, wait, I remember the loaves and the fishes and the miracle that He did with those. And that's the God I'm serving. And it's the same God that can help me with the wind and the waves. Remember those special places where He's talked to you and met you and spoke to your spirit in those wonderful, divine ways that only God can do it. Remember those things. Consider those things. Keep your eyes on Jesus and believe and keep pushing, even if 40 days pass, even if a year passes, even if it looks like your life is passing you by, even if it looks like that the lives of those that you are concerned about pass out of this life and meet God, and you say, oh God, what about this? It doesn't make sense. Trust the God in heaven that has all power and glory and is faithful and is a God of love and knows what He's doing for our good because of the grace of Jesus Christ. If 40 days pass, if years pass, if your lives pass, remain faithful to God. Keep your trust in God. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Remember these things. They serve as a witness against present-day doubts. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still God. He is still at work. And He is looking for a people that are willing to say, I believe. I will be, by the grace of God, of the number that remains steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we trust, by the grace of God, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's be encouraged tonight. Amen.